This is the podcast of Yale Environment 360. I'm Diane Toomey. Why do beauty, culture, even color play a vital role in urban sustainability? Martha Schwartz, one of the world's leading landscape architects, can tell you. Her London-based firm has designed such mega projects as Grand Canal Square in the Docklands section of Dublin and Abu Dhabi's Corniche beachfront area. Schwartz has worked in Japan, Qatar, Beirut, Israel, India, and China. But all the best technology, Schwartz says, won't make for a sustainable urban landscape if people don't value it. That's where her notion of soft sustainability comes in. It describes the sometimes intangible elements that keep people invested in an urban landscape. She sums it up this way: design plus human value equals sustainability. Schwartz, a Harvard professor, is also out to expand the very notion of urban landscape. It's a lot more, she contends, than parks and green roofs. I began my conversation with Schwartz by asking her what projects she has now in the U.S.
Nothing.
What is that about?
You know, that's a very, very good question. I'm not sure what it's about.
Are you such an outlier in your profession?
No, I'm not. But I am an outlier here in the United States. A lot of other countries are much more urban. They invest in their cities. Our practice is very urban, and it has been, which is also actually an outlier. I mean, landscape, the profession, has not been urban-oriented, especially here in the United States. So we're not an urban culture. We don't invest in our cities. And then we're kind of middle-aged now, and other countries are building new cities or completely changing their old cities or regenerating their cities. So there's a lot of work elsewhere. But we don't seem to have any of those characteristics in the United States. We're not looking to redefine our cities. We're not looking to invest in it. And we're really uncomfortable about art and design. Plus, we think landscape is all about natural systems.
I was going to bring up that point, this equivalent in the minds of Americans of landscape and nature. And you've talked about some negative consequences of that attitude.
Well, our idea of what landscape is always equates with this idyllic nature, this vision of what rocks and trees and streams and forests are. And people feel it's not appropriate to bring design ideas, cultural ideas, and impose them on the landscape. So this is a pretty uniquely American point of view. It's not like everybody feels that way. And why I think that it creates a downside is that if it can't be nature, it then falls below our consideration. And it falls in this crack. It's not architecture. It's not landscape. It's not designed. It's left to engineers or nobody. And we have then constructed or built our urban landscapes so that it's neither fish nor fowl. It isn't anything. So those are the landscapes that most of us live in, and they aren't designed or determined.
So are we talking about the parking lots, the alleyways, the redheaded stepchildren of the urban environment?
We're talking about probably 95% of the urban environment. Most of our urban environments are not waterfronts and parks. They are our streets, our sidewalks, our utility corridors, parking lots. It's everything outside the building. And yet there's very, very little kind of design thinking, creativity, and critique to what they look like, or even value that they look like anything. We don't care about it. You go to parking lots outside of big box environments, you see a few trees in the parking lot. It's a joke.
And what is the role that those forgotten spaces can play in urban sustainability? When it's done right, what does that look like?
That's why it's so interesting today, is that there's a much greater awareness, not so much here in the United States, that's why I have relatively little work here, that the spaces and places that we actually travel on and spend our time on are the streets. People spend you know, maybe 8 to 10 times more time in on the streets than they do in a park. But they don't just function to beautify, which it isn't just beautification, because actually beautification and making beautiful places creates a desire for people to want to be there, and people want to live in these kinds of places, which attract them to it. So design and making a space aesthetically interesting or pleasing plays a tremendous role to a city's desirability. But the streets are also places where people walk and connect to one another. It's where you put your bike lanes. So these are all things that happen on your streets. And then also the deployment of the natural environment, street trees, for example. Rob Adams from Melbourne, Australia, has figured out a way where the street trees are actually being planted in the streets. Each segment of the street actually is a catchment basin for water, which is stored under the street. And then the water is taken out to water the trees during the dry season. But the trees actually bring down the demands for cooling the building. It just cuts down the demand for energy. And all this is an integrated system. So the landscape can do that.
So landscape architecture is a lot more than green roofs.
It's a lot more than green roofs, yes. And the awareness that the landscape is more than a decoration, is just a subconsultant to architects, is there to just, you know, prettify and make a nice green setting, has completely changed. It's fundamental to how a city operates. If you can plan it, create codes that protect it, deploy it in systemic ways, and then lastly, design urban spaces that people want to be in, because we really need to get people to collectivize and live in cities.
I think your quote goes something like, as long as we keep topping off architects' buildings with green roofs, we're fiddling while Rome burns.
Yeah.
What was the reaction you got to that statement?
Well, probably less work from architects. But, you know, the thing is that... Look, I work with a lot of really fantastic architects, but I mean, architects really are very, very focused on their buildings, and that's why they're architects. You know, that's what they do. But we're 7 billion people now. We have to really figure out how to build cities, not just buildings. And buildings alone don't make cities. Go check out Dubai or how they're building housing in China.
You've coined the term soft sustainability. So talk to me a bit about what that means.
All those other systems outside of the technological ones, I call soft systems. And in order to really create meaningful places that work, those perhaps are more critical to the success of a space or a place or a street than the deployment of the technologies. I was just talking to Jack Spengler at the School of Public Health here at Harvard. There are many, many people who are on the track of being able to evaluate what the outcome is of creating spaces that work spiritually, visually, environmentally. So it isn't such a touchy-feely subject anymore, because people understand how valuable open space is. But of course, what it looks like and how it functions on the ground is completely culturally specific. I mean, how people use open space in the Middle East is very different than how they use it in China. So if you don't really understand people's values, the cultural values, you'll get it wrong. These are all really complicated issues, and they're not technologically based. These are all about figuring out how people live, what their values are, what their religious beliefs are, what kinds of shapes and forms they're comfortable with, what they don't like. All of this actually is more important than the technologies. The technologies have to function, but the technologies alone don't actually create value for a space. And if people don't value it, then it will be wasted. It won't be maintained. People won't use it. It'll go away.
Which has consequences for that densification goal that you feel is one of the most important things your profession can promote?
Well, that's what I think. That's what I believe. The most benefit that we can bring to the table as landscape architects is to encourage people back to cities and to living together.
When a city does its landscape design correctly, what kinds of environmental issues can be addressed and mitigated?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the first one that pops up is water, because water is so precious. So the cleaning, capturing of water, retaining it, allowing it to go back to replenish aquifers. For example, we're working on a project in Jakarta right now where the whole city of Jakarta is sinking, and it's sinking because they have used the fresh water from the aquifer. And as the aquifer is collapsing, the whole city is collapsing. So our job is to make sure that this development with 85,000 people can be free of using the aquifer, but to basically recycle their water systems and use the landscape to help do this, capture it, clean it, recirculate it, and make beautiful places where people want to be.
What stage of development is that project
in? Just planning, initial planning. It's highly technical, highly technical.
But you look excited.
I'm really excited. I mean, in part, if you actually think you can make a change, if you can change the way things are, business as usual, the way things are typically done in a place, especially in a developing place, that's a good thing. I mean, that is a great example for other developers. We were doing the Abu Dhabi Corniche, which is 4.5 kilometers of waterfront for the city of Abu Dhabi. We mentioned that there's going to be sea level rise and that Abu Dhabi would be underwater, in 50 years. And basically, they weren't really ready to hear that. And I said, well, we could dredge and build that up and future-proof the city, given the fact that we have 4.5 kilometers of city edge to protect. And what was interesting is their reaction was, well, that's going to be too expensive. Well, you need to calculate how much loss you're going to have on the first floor of all your major real estate investments for the city of Abu Dhabi. But places aren't often ready to hear these things, but it's your job to get them out on the table anyway.
Given the destruction that the Northeast has seen recently with Superstorm Sandy and the discussion it spurred regarding infrastructure protection and the reality of climate change, what's your take on the receptivity of city officials and planners in the U.S. to the notion that landscape design is important and necessary element of sustainability planning?
I'm hoping that city leaders will kind of take a broader view of who they need to be informed by. How do they get the right information and the right critique and have landscape architects seated at the table so that they can hear from a landscape point of view what should be done. It isn't really just about rebuilding buildings. We're really talking about infrastructure. And the infrastructure includes how do we rebuild a city, not just a seawall, or, it's how do we deploy the landscape to protect the cities and then to rebuild in a way that the city can function, as a good place to live, a safe place, but, as a place where you can walk, you can ride your bike and go to a park. I mean, all of these things are what gets sorted out at a planning urban design scale. But without the landscape architects to really help sort that out and actually advocate for it, it will be really hard to really achieve rebuilding a city. You can't do it just by buildings.
That's landscape architect and Harvard professor Martha Schwartz. To see photos of some of her urban landscape designs, go to Yale Environment 360's website, e360.yale.edu. That's e360.yale.edu. I'm Diane Toomey. Thanks for listening. The opinions and views expressed in this podcast are those of the guest and not of Yale Environment 360 or Yale University. Theme music by Swivel Neck Jones, available at magnatune.com.